Yep, that's frontline stuff. And you may say, well, man, why is the camp so short-handed? I don't know, but Clayton, you're on the front lines, you and Doug. And Doug, did some kids receive Christ? Good. Wonderful. Clay, could you help me? Would you just pass one of those out? Raleigh, would you take care of this side? Thank you. Well, good, Doug. And camp is running a little shorthanded. And if you have an interest, that would be pretty cool to be able to help in that way. This little piece of paper that I'm passing out is, we're looking at Ephesians chapter 1, and I just want you to have a little summary. It's my summary. It's not inspired. What I did was go through the scriptures, each one of the first 14 verses of Ephesians chapter 1, and the idea was to be able to talk about our identity in Christ. This is kind of a learning about us. I want you to know, and we've seen these before, these little papers that talk about your identity in Christ, and it does a few things. It talks about your identity in Christ. The scriptures also teach you about what we believe. It talks about predestination and adoption and a number of other very important Bible teachings, doctrines that are so, so very important for our life. And what that does too is that then gives you information to know what we believe and what we're telling others about. Okay? So thank you, sir. I appreciate your help. Very good. So looking at Ephesians, I just want to say the word equip. In Ephesians chapter 4, it talks about equipping the saints for the work of service. And we're going to be talking about that through the time because we need to be prepared. Many of you have occupations that tools are very important. Garrett, you work on cars. It's pretty important that you have a good set of tools, you know. Glenn works on people. It's probably really important that you have a good stethoscope and whatever else you use in your job. And I don't know exactly all that you use. And every one of us, if we just went around and we talked, you know, William's building a house right now. It's probably pretty important that he has good saws, good hammers, good pneumatic tools to do the building around his place. How important are those tools? They are critical. They are critical. Having tools is critical. And, you know, you think about the military and the tools that they have and how important is not only that they have the tools, but they're proficient with the tools. You know, if we're not proficient and we don't know how to use them, it really doesn't help us very much. And in Ephesians, there's this call to us. Ephesians is a letter written to the church in Ephesus, and it's a letter written, and Paul is writing and talking about their relationship to God, the very important, vital parts of our relationship with God. It's talking about spiritual gifts and how important they are in serving God. And in all this, I think it's very important that we know we have a mission to complete, right? This week we have Vacation Bible School, and there's a huge mission that we are going to complete, and that is through fun and watermelon and games and air conditioning and Bible lessons, we're going to teach children about Jesus, and then we're going to give them an opportunity to receive Jesus as their Savior. And so all these things are going to come together, and they're all vital. It is, please don't underestimate the tool of prayer. Maybe you could just jot down on the little piece of paper there, pray for VBS this week. That would be good. Pray for the leadership. All of those kind of things. So we are equipped for service in his church, and God has called us to a great mission. all these different people have different skills and different jobs, and boy, that didn't come out at all like it did on my paper. Those were all really cool and put together. Let's just skip that one. So what is our occupation as Christians? The Bible tells us that we are ambassadors for Christ. I just want you to look at this scripture with me in 2 Corinthians 5. It says this. It says, now all things are of God. And I want you to really hone in on that part, that little phrase. All things are of God. The church is of God. His people are of God. The way that he's gifted you is of God. The fact that you're saved is of God. And we just can't take that for granted. All things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. And, you know, it's just really important that we realize that God does a work in us to save us. Now, some of us recently have had this discussion, and it's a very important discussion about God saves us, and then we're responsible to be living for Christ. We know we're filled with the Holy Spirit, and that enables us, empowers us. The indwelling Holy Spirit makes it possible for us to live for Christ. But in some way, God gives us choice. You know, like I said before, I'm really glad you made the choice to come to church this morning. You could have decided that you didn't feel well enough or that the animals needed water or something that was broken and you needed to stay home. Anybody ever have those things? Sure we do. And you make a choice, and God gives us choice all the way through our lifetime. So all things are of God, who's reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and then he has done something with us. It says he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, and then it describes what that is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So we have this ministry that God has handed to us, a baton that God has handed to us. He says, now you're saved, go take that baton and do something with it. Everybody in this room who has had an occupation, and you have all had an occupation, a job, a responsibility, it is marvelous that you have a responsibility, that I have a responsibility. But if there is never any production, what is your boss going to say? Whether your boss is your wife or your boss is your husband or your boss is your boss who writes a paycheck to you, if you know all of this responsibility, but you don't do, then you get fired. And we're called. And we have a wonderful responsibility. I appreciate Clayton, you going to camp this summer, and Doug going to camp this summer, and all the investments of people throughout the time. The thing is, we can never put down our tools. We never put down our tools that God has given to us, who we are in Christ, what he's gifted us with, the knowledge that we have, and the responsibility that God has given to us. I will say again, pray for our VBS staff. It's going to be a tiring week. And maybe you're thinking, you know, I could come down for a day, and I could hang out, and I could do some stuff. You know, I guess as a pastor, we are arm twisters. We are arm twisters. But I'll tell you what, there's no place that will be the greatest blessing. It is the place of greatest blessing for you to be in God's work. You know, and anybody here tired? Of course we're tired. Anybody here overworked? Of course you're overworked. What we always do is we walk by faith as Christian people, don't we? We walk by faith and we say, God, I'm exhausted, but I'm going to give this time. God, I'm asking you to do what? Give me the strength to do what I have to do. God, give me the strength to do what I have to do. And it's really easy to say, well, Clayton's going to do it, you know, or Sherry's going to do it. We just can't do that. We just got to say, God, here I am, send me. That's what you said in your note a couple of weeks ago. You know, here am I, send me. And that's what God has called us to do. It says in verse 20, and this is kind of the key, Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. And is he? Absolutely he is. God is pleading through us. And then Paul says, we implore you on Christ's behalf, talking to the unbelievers, be reconciled to God. So we have this call to action that God is giving us. And the book of Ephesians is just like this equipping book. It's Paul writing to the people of God. And I realize, again, that this is not new information to you. But what happens is the mission never stops. And so I know that people tell me, Jim, what you need to do is tell us where we can help. Show us where we can fit in. You know, right off the top of my head, we need prayers for VBS. Write that down. That's a job. Second of all, we're going visiting into homes in our community. We'd really love your help. We're doing it right now Tuesday afternoons, but we could do it anytime you're available. Well, we're knocking on doors. Yep, just like those JWs. We're knocking on doors, and we got a little flyer. This is Pioneer Bible Church. Hey, just wanted to tell you, down the street, we're talking about Jesus, and we're inviting people to know him. Would you like to come and visit, come and be part? And so we're doing that on Tuesday afternoons. There are other things. Awana is coming up. We need more Awana workers. Is that true, Awana people? Do we need more Awana workers? Yeah, we had 64 kids last year, and we've had a couple of people who can't come back this year. Maybe you can come out on Wednesday afternoons, and you can help with Awana. We're starting up youth group again in August. We're looking for prayers. We're looking for people who invest in young people. You know what, you guys? It's just vital. And there are so many things. And we'll continue to make opportunities for those kind of things. But let's scoot on here. So why does God equip us? And we've been talking about this a little bit. Let's continue. Next slide. So in Titus chapter 2, it has this little dialogue. And the dialogue is from Paul to Titus. And he says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. I'm glad he appeared to me. He appeared to all men. And by the way, he did appear to all men. Whether people rebel and reject him is another thing. Verse 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly. So there's this idea of we have a way to live, that we are to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. That's why I asked you in the beginning about this present age, and do you see things changing? Way back in Paul's day, things were changing. Well, things are drastically changing now. You know, frankly, the shootings are becoming so prevalent and so often that you can't even hardly keep up with them all, nor handle the emotion. I don't know. I can't, you know, the UPS shooting and this shooting and then that shooting and the bombs and the suicides, the suicide bombs. It's just like you almost have to shelf that emotionally to be able to go on. But he says to us, we are called, and by the way, we are called and we are filled with the Holy Spirit. God, thank you for filling us with the Holy Spirit. So he's given us purpose. You know what, guys? The world is going to keep getting worse and worse. There is a group of people, they're called, and I probably shouldn't talk too much about this, I don't know too much, but they're called dominionists, and they're trying to affect the society to make it better and better. The Bible says this world is not going to get better and better. We are going to be called to be fighting on the front line. That's what he's calling us to. So Paul says to Titus, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope. That's what I'm looking for. You know, looking for when Christ will return, that glorious appearing of Christ. That is that's what's coming. That's our future promise. The glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. And so you can just see Paul's words. He's calling us up to be zealous for good works. You know, recently we've gotten Facebook information from Josh and Zach Gallivan and Kyle Gallivan. And these guys have enlisted in the Marines. They have enlisted in the Marines. And these young men have been called up. They have volunteered to go. And we're proud of them, and we pat them on the back and say, great. But we've all been called up. We've all been called up in God's service. And so here we are. And God give us strength to be able. Continue with this idea. Not only do you see it in Titus, let's go to the next slide. In 2 Timothy, Paul says to Timothy this time, he says, you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, and perseverance, persecutions and afflictions which happened to me at Antioch and Iconium and at Lystra, and what persecutions I endured. Here's the thing that I'd like you to just see. Paul is commending Timothy. And he's commending Timothy that Timothy has carefully followed what he's been taught. And so I'd like to just apply that to us and say, God is asking us to carefully apply what we've been taught. That's the doctrine part, what we believe. And there is a manner of life part. We've been called to a faithful walk, a walk worthy of the Lord, that we have a purpose, a faith, a long-suffering. So we see that list. And it says, in the middle of verse 11, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. That's the persecutions. Yes, and all who desire to live godly lives in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And so that's not a real happy thought, but it's reality that we will suffer persecution. And the Bible says to us, when you face trials, various trials, know this, that the testing of your faith does something. It builds, and the newer versions say what? It builds what in us? Endurance. It builds endurance so that we can keep facing these kinds of persecutions that are going to come our way. You know, we absolutely believe God in salvation. We need to believe God, too, in these kinds of admonitions that persecutions will come. Verse 13, but evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And that's what we're seeing in the news. That's what we're seeing in politics. That's what we're seeing worldwide, is that evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Then the challenge of verse 14, but you must continue in the things that you have learned and been assured of. And by the way, that's what I hope to be able to look at a little on this piece of paper that I handed you. What you have learned and the things that you're to continue in, knowing from whom you have learned them. Let's go to the next slide. It's a similar thing. So why does God give us these tools? To stay strong and warn when wolves come in. Here in this passage, Paul is in Acts 20. I believe it's Paul. I looked it up, but I don't remember if it was Paul or Peter. It says, for I know this, that after my departure, this is Paul, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves. Oh, man, from among yourselves. Men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves. So not only do we have the wolves coming in from the outside, but we've got people on the inside who are stirring things up and bringing discouragement and even, you know, wolf-type behavior. I don't know any real tame wolves, do you? Yeah. They're 31, therefore watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone day and night with tears. There is an urgency about what Paul is saying. There is a warning about what God is saying. There is a reality to what God is saying. That we are swimming upstream as Christian people. That's just the way it is. We are swimming upstream. God wants us to swim upstream. He will give us the ability to swim upstream. But that's where the battle is. It is not giving in and just, you know, doing a tube float down the society river. It is a challenge. There's another scripture here that talks about why does God equip us to live godly in a corrupt world? Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence now, presence only, but now much more in my absence. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And by the way, in Ephesians, we just see this for God's good pleasure all the time. All these things are happening, his call, his salvation, his filling. It's for his glory and honor. That's what worship is about. It's for his glory and honor. He has called us to this great responsibility, and it's to his glory and honor. Luke 17, there's this great little story about the guy who serves, and he says, you know, does the master say to the servant, oh, thank you, servant. I'm so glad. Just sit here with me and eat dinner. You remember? And Jesus says, you know, does the master do that to the servant? Jesus says, I think not. I just love that phrase in Scripture, I think not. He says, no, that servant does his job, and when the master is done, then the servant eats. You know, and it's a beautiful, simple little illustration of our call to be a servant of God, equipped to do his work. So much in these verses. Verse 15, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you do what? Shine as lights. And that's what we are called to do. We are called to shine in the darkness. We are called to be a difference in this dark world. We are called to walk and serve him. Let's jump to the next slide. So I'm just going to read this simple thing. This man named Bill Hall, who wrote in a magazine called Truth Magazine, made this observation. When we as Christians face two possible choices. Number one, to try to clean up the society in which we live, so that we and our children can serve God without the pressures and evil influences that presently exist. Think that's going to happen? No. We would not discourage reasonable effort on the part of individual Christians along these lines, but success in any such efforts will be on a small scale. It matters not how hard we work at it. By and large, the world will still be a corrupt world when we die. Next one. TV will still exist. Evil will still exist on TV and in the movies. Pornography will still be a problem. Corruption will still exist in government, and schools will still have their ungodly influences. And many of us have been concerned about that, the whole ungodly influence in school. Our purpose as Christians is to call people out of darkness through the gospel and into the light. We can do that, but efforts to eradicate darkness will, for the most part, be what? Futile. It's really not going to change a whole lot. So, fortunately, we have another choice. Number two, make up our minds to serve God faithfully in whatever environment we find ourselves. This is the only viable choice for the Christian. Here we are, and here we stand. Shining as lights for Christ in a dark and needy world. We are called to be ambassadors, to go bring this message of reconciliation. We're going to do that tomorrow morning at Vacation Bible School. Pray for that. Let's jump to the next slide. So God saves, calls, and equips us. How does God equip us? If you would, yeah. So these kind of things come out of Ephesians and many other places in the Bible. First of all, knowledge. That we understand who we are in Christ Jesus. That's called our identity, or at least that's what it's been termed, our identity in Christ. The second thing, God has given us gifts, what God blesses us with in salvation. It's our position in Christ. God has given us gifts. He's given us a position in Christ, and he's given us gifts. God equips us with truth, what we believe about God, and truth. We call that sometimes Bible doctrine. I remember we've had discussions in the past that doctrine's kind of a hard word. I love the word doctrine. It just means all the stuff that I believe because it's in the Scriptures. Doctrine is a precious word. It's who we are and why we stand for what we stand for. And then the Holy Spirit, what our assets are since we are in him. The hope, the strength, the purpose. The Holy Spirit indwells us, teaches us, gives us what to say. So we have, just in my crude kind of way, how God equips us. These truths are life-saving anchors to latch into. And I remember a long time ago, we went with a group of people to do some rappelling in Joshua Tree. And I don't know, this story I probably told you, but the guy climbed us up to this cliff that was about 200 feet up. And then he said, we're going right there. And it was just sheer drop, 200 feet, you know. And then he explained to us how he was going to anchor the ropes and how he was going to use these, and I always forget the word, is it pitons? Well, that's what connects it, piton. It's what you anchor into the rock. So it's this little nail-looking thing with a loop on it, and they pound it into the rock. They hook a rope in, and then they put their whole life in that little piton's hands, and they get on the rope and they go over the edge and they rappelled, and I did, and I rappelled down, as did a lot of our youth in the church, and I'm thankful we all survived. But I'll tell you what, we need, these are the truths, these are the anchors that save our lives and that give us the ability to share the gospel that others' lives might be saved as well. Let's jump to the next slide. So how does God equip us? The same thing, his word, the Holy Spirit, by his purpose and design. Next one. That's a similar thing. Let's go to the next one. Okay. So I'm just going to kind of stop with that. We just had a few things this morning. We've gone kind of quick. In Ephesians chapter 1, and it just has all these beautiful phrases, and it says, in him. It all starts with him. It originates with him. It carries out with him. The fruit in our lives is in Christ. A couple of examples. Our Father creates, redeems, and establishes you by his will. The grace and peace we experience is from him. You are chosen because he chose you. Our Father predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus. God provides these blessings according to his good pleasure. We just keep seeing him as the source. Now, just with a couple of minutes, just take a look at this little piece of paper. So it says, equipping the saints to serve God from Ephesians. The believer's identity in Christ from Ephesians 1, that's 1, 1 through 14 supposed to be. Truth about my identity in God and truth about what biblical Christians believe. Okay, so again, this is my rendition. You can pick it apart. The idea is to see the truth and try to put it in an applicable way so that you can and I can understand it. Okay? Two things. As an ambassador of Christ, you need to know who you are. As an ambassador of Christ, you need the security to know what God has done in your life. That you're not doing this on your own. You're not doing it in your own power. You are doing it because he is in you and he's given you a message. And then he has given you what to believe. And in these phrases from Ephesians chapter 1, he not only tells you who you are, but how it works. What he's called us to believe in him. I'll just give you a couple of examples, and then we can close in prayer, and we can go on. I just want to, so since I am in Christ, I understand there is a will of God. I understand there's a will of God. It's his will, not my will. I am a saint of God, as all believers are. When we are in Christ, we are a saint. We are called faithful once I am in Christ. What he actually says is to the faithful in Ephesus, as he's writing there. That one might be a stretch. I am a recipient of the grace and peace of God. I receive the grace and peace from God. He's the source, and the gift of God and the peace of God that you have is from him. And many times we just need to latch on to that grace and latch on to that peace and believe that it is true. The next one, I am blessed with every spiritual blessing from heaven in Christ. I am chosen by God in Christ. I am known and chosen before the foundation of the world. And I actually wrote these meaning to repeat some things because Paul kept adding these wonderful words about my identity and the truth of what we believe in these phrases. So would you jump down to the very bottom? It says, these truths from Ephesians 1, 1 through 4, bring the believer. And then I listed these things, and these are just my thoughts. But they bring us confidence in the eternal, predetermined salvation plan of God. That's what this verse talks about, that God knows and that God has saved us. He knew beforehand what he was going to do. It brings us resilience when the roadblocks come, when attacks present, when flesh rears that's supposed to be up instead of us. I forgot to fix that. Or when Satan advances. It brings us peace in all life circumstances, both in trials and joys, loss and victories, failures and success. It brings us hope, no matter what life brings, that God's will is accomplished and his purposes are sure. And recently there have been a number of things that have happened in my life and in our church that has been so important to remember that. Purpose every day of your life with God, with Christ. Purpose every day of your life with Christ and priority in your pursuits till he calls you home. And it just continues. Calm and security. There are all these things. Here's the deal. We are called to be ambassadors. We are called to be reconcilers in the world in very, very practical ways. With your family at home, with the kids at Camp Forward, with the kids who come into VBS, when Awana starts up, when we go into our Sunday school class, when we live out our faith, we got to know who we are, and we got to know what our tools are, including what we believe. So it's just kind of a start. I know we've been talking about Ephesians 1 for a few weeks, but I'm excited to get into the second half of chapter 1 next week. Let's pray. Father, I'm grateful that you've called us to a work. As we go, help us do that work. Whether we're at home and we're talking to our family, whether we're at home talking to our neighbor across the fence, whether we're at Quick Stop getting gas on the way home, whether we're at Safeway or Walmart or wherever we go, whether we're at our jobs and people are aching and needing an ambassador to tell them about the ministry of reconciliation, whatever it is, whether we're at VBS tomorrow morning, God, you've called us, and we live in a world of crisis. Lord, we pray for those who we will talk to, those who we will live around, and ask you to work in their souls. God, even though we may not be the boldest, even though we may be quiet, I pray that when we see someone in need and your Spirit prompts our heart, that we would say a word for Christ or just live a testimony before them. Father, we thank you for the truth in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. It's just one more little plug out on the bookshelf or this little book that's called Knowing God Personally. I just encourage you to take some with you. Okay? God bless you. Let's enjoy Sunday school time and some cup of coffee here.